Hello, everyone. Lovely to be with you this morning. That song, Behold Our God, Behold Our King. It's just beautiful, isn't it? David was a man who wrote many psalms. He spent much of his life beholding God, beholding the King. And we have one of his prayers recorded in the book of Chronicles. And he says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." And I was thinking about this prayer that David prayed, and I'm thinking about these words that are just coming forth as he tries to describe the glory and power and majesty of God. And he runs out of words. He runs out of superlatives to express the beauty of God in his perfect holiness, perfect righteousness and goodness and majesty, this powerful being that is God. Today we have a noble theme before us, the majesty of God. And it's hard to even know where to start when you gaze upon God's beauty, when you gaze upon his righteousness and holiness. I love the songs we're singing today. They've moved me as I've been moved this week, as I've looked into the scriptures and tried to just catch a glimpse of who God really is. And I wanted to start with Job being read out today, because I love what Elihu says to Job, this man who is suffering. He says, "Listen to this, Job. Stop and consider God's wonders. Stop and consider God's wonders." We live in a world that is helter-skelter, fast-paced. We have lives that are busy. We have things constantly barraging us. Stop and consider God's wonders. And I think that as we consider his wonders today, we'll find that we are deeply moved and that we run out of words to express just how glorious and great he is. Majesty, it's a word that has so many beautiful images attached to it. You might think of kings and queens and gilded castles with golden chariots. And it's just a glimpse of the King of Kings. When we think of any majesty that we see in the earth around us, it's just a pale glimpse of God. When we see kings, when we saw King Charles in his coronation, all the pompery, the glitter, the splendor, it pales compared to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When I think of the architecture that we've built across time, the great cathedrals that soar up into the heavens, and they cause you to go, wow, isn't this majestic? And yet it's nothing compared to what God has done, what God has created. It is just a glimpse. For me, I find majesty in God's creation all the time. I think of the lion, the king of the savannah, and I think, wow, what a majestic creature. Horses are one of my favorite animals. The muscles ripple with every pounding of the ground, but they're hooves. You can imagine them flying over the prairies, their manes roaring behind them. They're a beautiful animal. They're majestic. And it all points to the majesty and splendor of God. One of my favorite things to do is to go hiking. And my brother-in-law, Jeremy, captured this image of me up on the Needles. And I love that image. I'm tinsy up there. And you can see the mountains, the vista before me. As I was standing there, I was singing a song of praise to God. And I was just struck by the majesty. These mountains that just lay before me, they look so strong, so mighty, so immovable. And yet they can be moved. They can be shaken. But the God who created them, he cannot be moved. He cannot be shaken. These glimpses we have in creation are just a small reflection of the Creator, and it's a glorious thing to behold. Earlier this year, we went to Coffs Harbour, and we stayed out at Dorigo, which is about an hour out of Coffs Harbour, and we were on a farm. And I still remember the first night we got there, I think it was a bit overcast. The second night, it was black night. Super dark. We got there, got back to the farm. It was really late. and I've been chatting with the guys in the car, and it's been just a wonderful day. And I hopped out of the car, and I stepped out, and there was no lights anywhere except for the heavens above. And I grabbed the picture to try, and it's gone flat. I grabbed the picture to try. I mean, it's you can't really see it properly, but it took the breath out of my body as I just stood there. It was so unexpected. I hadn't psyched myself up for it. And I was just standing there, and my hands came out, and I was like, wow. Wow. It felt like the stars were zooming down on me. They were just shining so bright. There was actually a slight mist in the air, and it was making them shimmer down at me. And it was so powerful, so bright. And I thought, wow, the heavens declare the glory of God. They declare His glory, His majesty. And so today, if we stop and consider God's wonders, I think where else can you start but with His creation? Because it's in His creation that we see His power, His strength displayed. And the Bible is full of these prayers, these psalms, meditating on God's creation, His wonders, what He has done. Thanks, Simon. Psalm 145, verse 5 says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. I will meditate on it. It is a privilege and an honor to meditate on the beauty of God. When it comes to the universe, to the stars, it's hard to describe their magnitude and how great they are. We get lost in the numbers. It is said that the average human eyes can see about 5,000 stars in the night sky when they look up. But if you get a 4-inch telescope, that number explodes to 2 million. I would like, who's done sewing? Sewing, yeah, needle and thread, okay? This is left field, all right? Who's done sewing? Yeah, who's seen a needle with that tiny little eye and you tried to get the thread to go between it? Yeah. All right, I want everybody to hold your hand out. Hold your arm out. Pretend you're holding a little needle in your hand, okay? And you're looking through that little eye of the needle, okay? You can see it there. Now I want you to hold it up to the heavens. And I want you to try and find the darkest part of the sky. I'm not sure where the darkest part in this building is. You know, maybe there's a little pocket of darkness there. Look through that tiny little needle, hold the needle at that dark point of sky. That is what happened in 1995 or something like that, when the Hubble Space Telescope was trained on this tiny point of one of the darkest parts of the sky they could find. For 10 days, this telescope peered through this tiny bit of space into this dark, dark section of the universe. And this is what it saw. This dark, dark, tiny, tiny part of the sky. What you're seeing there, the orangey sort of blobs, they're stars on the very edge of our galaxy. The rest of the ones that you see, the rest of those bits that you're seeing are not stars, they're galaxies. The galaxies. In each of those galaxies, they estimate there are millions of stars. In that little eye of the needle point of the sky that we're looking at, we're seeing about 10,000 galaxies. I can think of no better way to try and grasp the magnitude of the universe. And yet the Bible tells us, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these? This is Isaiah the prophet. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Who created them? Who calls them by name? The God that we serve. No wonder another psalm says, who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord? Or fully declare his praise. Who can fully declare the praise of the God we serve. No wonder Job, in the book of Job, we read, what should we say to him? In verse 19 of the reading today, what should we say to him? We cannot draw up our case because of our darkness. Should he be told that I want to speak? Would anyone ask to be swallowed up? Now, no one can look at the sun, bright as it is in the skies, after the wind has swept them clean. Out of the north he comes in golden splendor. God comes in awesome majesty. Our God is great. Our God is powerful. Our God is majestic in his splendor. No wonder when we see, when we read the encounters of people in the Bible, the encounters of people with the living God, we see the reaction over and over of people who are undone completely in the presence of God. If you think of Deuteronomy, where the Israelites stood before Mount Sinai, and God came on the mountain with fire and rumblings and flashes of lightning and thunder, and he spoke to them, made a covenant with his people. And what's their reaction? Deuteronomy 5:24. The people say, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a person can live even if God speaks with them. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us. We will die if we hear the voice of our Lord any longer. In Isaiah, the prophet has a vision of God. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. There were angels flying before him, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And his reaction, he says, woe is me. I cried, I am ruined, to encounter God. I am undone. In Daniel has a vision of this angelic being coming towards him. Some think it's the pre-incarnate Christ. And he says that his companions, such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. And Daniel says, I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And in Revelation, when John has this vision of the throne rooms of heaven, Geordie read out a bit of that earlier. In chapter 1 of Revelation, we see his immediate reaction. He says, when I saw him, when he has this vision of Christ in his majestic glory, John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. No wonder in the book of Job, Elihu says to him, the Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. God is unlike anything we can even comprehend. He's not just a human on steroids, a superhero. He's not just a little better than us. He is beyond comprehension in how great and glorious and mighty and majestic he is, the majesty of God. Words fail to describe. But I have another image that I want to show you. This is an image that I find very powerful. It's taken by the Voyager 1. It's taken 6.4 billion kilometers from Earth. Just before it lost contact with Earth, they turned it back to take one last photo of our solar system. And they got it to look back to Earth and take a photo of us. And there it is, 6.4 billion kilometers away from us. Can you see hope there? That little white speck that you see caught in that sunbeam, that's us. That is Earth. That's our home. That's where we live and breathe and die. All we've ever known, it's this little speck just caught in a sun ray. It's an amazing image. And when I look at it, I think of David's great psalm, Psalm 8. Psalm 8, where he says, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him, that you care for him." When I look at that image, that verse just is what goes through my mind. What is man? What is man that you care for him? What is man that you are mindful of him? But friends, the beauty is in the question, because he doesn't say, "Do you care? Are you mindful?" He says, "Why?" And we can wonder why God cares, why God loves us so much, why he created us in his image, why he has crowned us with honor and glory. We can wonder why, but never wonder, does he? Does he care? He knows every moment of your life. He holds it in his hand. He's seen every moment. He's seen every lonely night, every tear that you cried, every step of your days. He's written it in his book. Before one of them came to be, he ordained it to be so. He loves you. He cares for you. That little speck that's just suspended in a sun ray of God's grace. He came to that earth, this earth, our home. He entered it. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power, but we are not beyond his reach. And he says, in Ephesians, we read, Ephesians 2 verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." The majesty of God, the majesty of his grace, the majesty of his love for us. Now that is a noble theme. And no wonder Paul says in Colossians, "Give joyful thanks to the Father who has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." And he says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, whether things in heaven or things on earth, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Our God has come to our earth. And he says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. For once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, free from accusation, without blemish, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I have become a servant. God is majestic. But there's no greater majesty than his love for us, seen in Christ, who came to this earth, the one who knew no sin became sin for us. And in him we are reconciled. And now we are invited to share in God's majesty, to behold his majesty. It's a wonderful, wonderful invitation, because to speak of the majesty of God is to speak of our invitation to come before him, to worship him, to adore him. He does not hide his face from us. I want to finish with Psalm 95. Because it's this beautiful, beautiful invitation to come and worship and adore our Maker, our God, who calls us His own. Psalm 95, verse 1. Come, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song for the Lord. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. That is our God, and that is our position. He is our God. We are His people. So let's come and bow down before Him. Amen.